Ek ken nie of die dogters nog hier so as julle nie het gaan vorentoe kom nie. Ah, so, dis ok, dis ok. Eugene en Adele, as hy. Dalk sommer net van hulle community, dalk net so, hier kan kom staan. Paar van hulle community. Ek het net gevoel, ons het vir hulle bid. Eugene en Adele is die Jakins paarkie in ons midde. Hulle, hier al van die begin af, dien en als, maar die afgelopen, jy is, wat is het nou, 5 maande? Voel soos so 5 maande is hulle in 'n storm, en ek weet daar is die hele klompie van julle ook in storms, maar dit is 'n gewarwel, en is 'n verskriklike raaierai, en hulle het net 'n hele klomp van alle angles, dis familie, dis huis, dis werk, dis 'n klomp dinge, en hulle trek swaar, en ek het net gevoel, partykeer lig ons mense uit, partykeer is dit in die community, maar net in vanmorgen het ons die Here net kon vertrou, dat hy hulle sal versterk. Val Eugene se pa is lee op sterwe, oom Sydney. Julle weet nie, maar oom Sydney is nie deel van die kerkie, maar hy het baie oggende het hy kom help om die kerk skoon te maak op 'n maandag of sulke dinge. Hy het ons kom dien en ag, ons wil net vir hulle bid. So Here, soos dit hulle hier so staan, wil ons bid vir die hele Smit familie. Hulle gesin hierso. Here, dat U sal kom versterk in die naam van Jesus Christus. En Vader, ons wil verklaar wat ons nou gesing het. Ons gedagtes is nie U gedagtes nie, maar ons wil vra, Here, dat elke gedagte en elke woord wat U oor hierdie gesin het en hierdie familie het, dat dit sal plaasvind soos wat U doen. En ons berus in dit, Here, dat U woord is sterk. U woord sal doen wat waarvoor U dit gestuur het om te doen. En so, Here, bekragtig hulle nou. Versterk hulle, Here. Ek bid vir hulle gemoed, Here, dat dit in geloof sal opstyg en op U sal rus, Here, en dat vrede sal sak oor hierdie gesin en familie. In die naam van Jesus. Amen. Seën vir julle. So Mike, bless you. Thanks, man.
There's just something about the value of the one that Andrew was preaching as well. So I just feel like there's this highlight of the word that every person that the Lord. I just got this sense that there's an emphasis on the one that every one of maybe you sit here and think what am I? Maybe just.
This morning, I've just got such a sense that there are people here possibly having a sense of, I am one in a number, I'm one in a congregation, and I'm sort of fading, or I'm not noticed, or so. But I believe that the Lord this morning has a message for every one of us, that you are important to Him, and He's noticing you. I just feel that there's an emphasis in the Spirit of, I'm noticing you. Ruan had the specific now for the smitten, and so, but it's not for them different than for every one of us sitting here. In our, you might be young, you might be old, you might be contributing a lot or a little in secret or public, but I feel that there's an emphasis from the Lord in the sense of, I notice you as an individual. I'm concerned about you, your journey, your next step, the plans that I have for you, and that He wants to minister that to us. Can we just for a moment, just close your eyes and receive that in the Lord. Lord, wherever there's something that wants to subtract, to downplay the value that you place on the one, on every individual, Lord, we pray for that to be dealt with now by your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that to every person, there will be an internal witness that says, I am important to the Lord. I am noticed by the King. What I do and choose matters. And Lord, we pray that the secret choices will be worship unto you, because we know that it matters to you. We trust you for that. Help us, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Good. What a great morning so far. It's been wonderful. Those who haven't met me yet, my name is Mike. It's my wife, Adi. So we're now based in Paul, helping to lead the congregation, lead the team with the elders. And so we're based in Paul. I think most of you know that now, but in case you didn't, that's who we are. We live in Wellington, but we're trying to be as much as possible. So that's who we are. I do want to say off the back of what Cassie said, you know, the thing about church is that the Bible says that God adds the lonely into family. And I think the reality of knowing that you are loved and knowing that God sees you sometimes happens practically because we see one another. And I think one of the challenges with church is always that, you know, it's not the professionals doing the work of the ministry. We don't have any superstars. We don't have professionals. We don't have the slick. We're not that, you know. We, the leaders, have to facilitate ministry for everyone. So let me ask you a question. Then I'll actually share. Yeah, this is free. This is not part of, this is free. So what is the job of a pastor? Maybe I want to ask you, what do you think the role of, for me as one of the pastors is in the church? What do you think a pastor should do? I mean, pastors paid by the church, okay? I eat my lunch with Christians a lot of the time. I'm not with a lot of unbelievers. I wish I was, but that's just my role in, at the moment. But what is a pastor called to do? Maybe shout out some answers. What do you think? Yes, shepherd the sheep. Okay, try to get a bit more practical. That is true. Okay, I don't actually have a flock of sheep that I look after outside of Paul on Grant's farm, in case you're wondering. Okay, Emil? Okay, to understand the gospel, so to be taught the gospel. What else? Teaching. To love you, okay? To love the people, right? That is true. To love, what else? What is, you might even think of a traditional role, you know? Maybe you've grown up in a church, maybe Dominie, and hey, doen verschillende dinge of die pastoor, you know? And he's doing, huisbezoek, there we go. I remember we pastored in Oudtshoorn, and we, the homes we went to, many of the homes had what they call die Dominie's kamer. It was like a voorkamer. It was this place that it was just for the pastor. They never went there, but when the pastor came to visit, oh, you know. Meanwhile, they didn't let you into the rest of their house because, like, I actually want to get to know you. I'm not interested in the voorkamer. Like, you know, don't be so formal. Anyway, but it was quite fun. Okay, so visiting people. What else? You'll see where I'm going to with this. Praying for the sick. Okay. Now, I'll stop there. Anyone else want to mention anything? Boundaries, so maybe putting out certain doctrine or discipline in the church. Yeah, that's very good. To lead, okay. So now some of these things are very much are linked to being a leader. That's definitely true. But a lot of what I'm called to do and what the elders are called to do is actually something we're all called to do. So, you know, in Ephesians 4, it says that the job of a pastor is to train the saints to do the work of the ministry. So my job, along with the other elders, is to train you to be doing what we're doing. In other words, we have to work ourselves out of a job. In other words, visitors, loving people, going to people's home, sharing the gospel, making people feel welcome, hospitality, that's not just the job of a leader, that's the job of every one of us. And part of being seen and heard is when we can be a church where every one of us is feeling like we're connected, but you feel you're connected not just because the pastor has gone to you and said, welcome, you know, but actually that you're in each other's homes and we're loving one another and you're being drawn into family. And isn't that what the Psalms say? The Psalms say that God adds the lonely into family. And so the way that God does this in terms of seeing you as an individual is actually just through being a body. And our job is to train you to do that. And so, yeah, and that's part of actually just what ministry is about, is to train you to do that, to love one another in the Lord. You know, that's the thing you probably notice about Josh Jen. We don't have superstars. We don't, although we have strong leaders, and obviously Andrew is a strong leader and other strong leaders, but we never, if you come into one of our meetings, you probably wonder, who is the leader here? You know, it takes a while to figure that out. But that's the way of the kingdom. So anyway, that's completely free, and I just wanted to throw it out just in back of what this with Cassie's word. So what I wanted to share on this morning is I wanted to take about 25 minutes, 30 minutes to unpack the gift of tongues. And I actually want to share into what is the gift of tongues and how do we receive the gift of tongues for today. Now, if you were here last week, you would have noticed that I did share around the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in measure. And we can talk about this for months, but I really want to share today around the gift of tongues. And it's such a misunderstood gift because it's something that often has created a lot of controversy. I don't know about you or how many of you have trusted for the gift of tongues or speak in tongues, but there's often a wild swing that we find from one side where there is the abuse and the misuse of tongues, where people think like, oh, to be really spiritual, the sign of being spiritual is that you speak in tongues, and you might speak in tongues loudly, and that might be a sign that you're spiritual. And in fact, as we're going to look at 1 Corinthians this morning, we see that that was the problem with the church in Corinth. The Christians there, their mark of being spiritual was actually for them how loudly and how strongly they could speak in tongues. And if you read a little bit about the background of the church, you know that there was an abuse, a misuse of spiritual gifts, where these were people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they kind of elevated tongues to be so important that it actually was wrong. And so that's on one side. And I know for me as a young Christian, the big thing was like, are you a Christian? Yes. Do you speak in tongues? Or are you even a Christian if you don't speak in tongues? And it is almost the extreme side. But actually then, the problem is churches, because today many charismatic churches are not actually even practicing the gifts of the Spirit anymore. And so what happens is we're scared of excess and we're scared of the chaos. And so what churches do today is we swing to disuse. We don't use it all. We don't practice the gift of tongues. We don't aim for it. We don't trust for it. We don't trust for the spiritual gifts because somehow we want our services to be maybe more neat and palatable and kind of tidy, you know? But actually, as you see in Scripture, God's house is not tidy. God's house at many times is messy. God's house is a little bit of mess because that's where people are growing in the Lord and we're having to risk and step out in the things of God. But God's heart is right use in terms of these. And so, you know, I'm sharing this morning as I look at tongues is because God's heart is that we are believers that walk in power. And that being in Jesus means that we have the power of the Spirit. And that means God's heart is for us to be tapped into the power source. And that's not tongues, but tongues helps facilitate that. But in the person of the Holy Spirit. God's heart is that if we're in Jesus, we have the Spirit. And that's the heart of God for us. And I want to ask you, like never ever, we must never settle for second best. We must never settle that like we can just cruise through life. God's heart is that we are people that are spirit-filled, empowered people, taking risks for God, willing to dream for the Lord, to be used by Him. But the thing is, to serve Him is an impossible task. We cannot do it in our own strength. We can't love people in our own strength. We need the power of the Spirit. And that's the heart of what I'm trying to share as we're going to look at tongues today as speaking in tongues. So I want to answer, number one, what is the gift of tongues? And number two, how do we receive the gift of tongues? And I'll share a few personal stories as well. Number one, so what I'm going to share a number of points and then go into how to receive the gift of tongues. So number one, the first point is what is the gift of tongues? Now, some of you might know this. This might be common for you, but I think a lot of us don't know this. And if you do, it's good to have a refresher. What is the gift of tongues? The gift of tongues of the gawe van tale, is it reg, okay, is tals. It actually is the gift of languages, the gift of languages. And it literally means a language that has been given by the Holy Spirit. That when you're filled with the Spirit, as you're trusting Jesus and following Jesus, Jesus gives you His Spirit, third person of God, and He empowers you to give you different gifts to help others. And it's a language. And where do we find this, first of all? We find it in the book of? Acts. Okay, you guys are sharp this morning. Thanks, Gussie. In the book of Acts. So the first time we see that is in the book of Acts. I won't go there too much now, but in Acts chapter 2, verse 4 to 8, I'll just read it briefly. and then share this. And this is, we find two kinds of languages that the Holy Spirit gives. He gives human languages as part of the gift of the Spirit, the gift of tongues, and he gives spiritual languages that no one can understand. And in Acts 2, we find a story of actual human languages. And let's see what it says. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that. These timid disciples who are scared and hiding in the upper room and were not bold, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't you love that? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. By the way, the word tongues is sometimes in English an unfortunate term, because it can sound like this ecstatic utterance that you lose control. Ooh, tongues. And you just blank out, and you kind of, it's almost like this ecstatic thing that happens to you where you lose control. And I remember for me, when I read this as a young Christian, I was like, I don't want to lose control. I don't want to be one of those people, you know, that are shake, rattle, rolling. No. I was fearful of that. But that's actually, unfortunately, a misperception of what tongues is. As you'll see now, when you get to speak in tongues, it is always, you're always under the control. The gift can't take over you. You're in control of the gift because it's a language that God gives you, rather than you are kind of, you wake up and like, did I just speak in tongues? And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Are all these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? And so in this specific case, this gift of tongues was human languages that were given. And why were they given? Why did God give a strange gift to the church? I mean, if you think about it, like couldn't God have given any gift? Couldn't he have given healing or, you know, prophecy in the beginning? Why did they speak in tongues? Why that? And I shared this last week. I'm not going to go into detail, but there is one place in the Bible when people came together from all the nations and they also spoke in a language, to bring them together, and they wanted to do something in their own name. Do you know that story? The Tower of Babel. And what did God do? God judged them because of their pride and their arrogance, and he said, I'm going to confuse your languages, and they basically split up and went into the earth because they tried to build a name for themselves, and they spoke the same language. But it resulted in judgment because it was built on the pride of man, doing it in their own strength. But here in Pentecost, they come together, and now we see that there's a language again, but this time people can understand, and it's a sign of blessing. Do you see what God is doing? God wants to create a people for himself. That's what the people wanted to do in Babel. We're going to be a people for ourselves, make a name. We're going to be great. And now in Pentecost, that's the same thing, but it's God who's doing it. And God uses language to refer to Babel to say, actually, but I'm doing it by my Spirit. I'm building a community that is not in the pride of man, not in the flesh of man, not in how clever you are, how big the building can get. I'm building it by my Spirit. And tongues was a sign that it was a supernatural work of God. That was quite unique to Acts chapter 2. Interesting, I don't know any of you that have spoken in tongues that have maybe spoken in a real human language, in terms of French or, you know, some language, but I've heard stories of that. In fact, I've got one friend. His name is Malcolm McNeil. He's actually in the Milnerton congregation, Mally. Some of you know him. And Mally told me a story. This is his story. He said he was on holiday a number of years ago, and he was in the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal in Margate area. And he was going to go to church because he was on holiday. It was a Sunday morning. He wanted to go to church. And he was on his way to another church, and as he passed this old traditional building, he could see people filing in for the service. I think it was a traditional Methodist church. And he felt the Lord say to him, Malcolm, I want you to go there this morning. And he's like, no, I want to go to the other one that I planned to go. And he felt the Lord say, no, I want you to go there. So he went, he really felt to go, so he turned his car around, he went to that service, and it was very traditional. There was the oral, and there was a lady on the organ playing, and it was very, very traditional, very quiet. You know, there was no joyful noise. It was just quiet, respectful. And while they would sing a song, and then there'd be a silence and a gap, then the next song. And during one of the gaps, he felt the Lord impress on him, saying, "Malcolm, I want you to speak out in tongues." And he's going, no. These aren't charismatics. They're not going to understand. And so that gap went past. And he's like, And again, the next gap came. And he felt so strongly that the Lord said, "I want you to speak out in tongues." And he's like, wrestling. Gap gone. Like, okay, if there's one more gap, Lord, I'll do it. Another gap. And he just, okay, this is foolish, but I'm going to do it, Lord. And he stepped out in faith, and he just began to speak out in tongues. Then he said that there was this awkward silence, and they just carried on. Because he realized, of course, that with a public tongue, you need interpretation, but they just carried on. And anyway, he just, as the service ended, he basically tried to slink out as quickly as he could, and as he was bolting for the car park, there was a lady who ran out after him, and she had her mother behind her, and she said, "Sorry, I just want to say to you, sir, do you realize what happened in the service this morning? You spoke in the language of my mother from Eastern Europe." Mother was from Eastern Europe. I forget the country, but I'd have to ask him. And he said, "You spoke in a tongue, and basically you declared the praises of God in my mother's tongue of Eastern Europe, and she understood you." And I said, "But my mother has been asking and wrestling, God, are you real? Show me if you're real." And anyway, and the lady was weeping. They were like, you've just, the Lord has spoken to us this morning. And I was just like, wow. So that does happen. I mean, I hear other stories, but that is not normative. The normative experience, and if you've been in charismatic churches for long, you know that it's often a spiritual language. A spiritual language. And I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians 14 on this one, and I'll explain. Because some people say, no. The gift of tongues must be a human language like we see in Acts 2. But I want to argue that that is exceptional, not normative, not normal. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, we want to see that tongues is also a spiritual language. In other words, it's a language that gets spoken that nobody understands, not even the speaker. And look what 1 Corinthians 14, 2 says, where Paul says, "For when one speaks in a tongue, the person speaks not to men, but to God." And then he says, "For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." Right? That doesn't sound like a natural language, does it? That nobody understands him. Even if someone would come in from another culture, nobody understands him. And that's kind of echoed in verse 16. You can have a look as well. And this idea that actually you find in the book of Acts that when people were touched by God and filled with the Spirit, that they would speak in kind of a spiritual language. And I'm going to unpack that as we go along now. What does that mean? It means it's you know, 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about if you can speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I don't know what it is, but it's some kind of spiritual language that seems to be, and that's normative. I think many of us would witness with that. Let's look at number two. We'd spend the whole day if we unpack all of that. Number two, tongues. So tongues is a language. Tongues, number two, is a personal prayer language that builds you up. That's what tongues is. And I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:14. He says, "If I pray in a tongue," he says, "my spirit prays." All right? My spirit prays. In other words, he's praying not by the Holy Spirit. He's actually praying with his own spirit, with his own energy, with his own strength. He's praying from within him, but not with his mind. His spirit prays. And he says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." And then verse 2, look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God." In other words, that when you speak in tongues, it's a prayer language to God. It's speaking in a way that is to the Lord, not to other people, as a personal prayer language. And we can see how different this is from Acts 2, because in Acts 2, they're speaking out as a witness to all the people around them. It's like a sign and a wonder. But now in 1 Corinthians 14, suddenly in the everyday of church life, tongues, if it's not public, with private, it becomes this prayer language that when you pray, you're praying with your spirit to God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. And I'll explain a little bit of how it works for me. It says, for the one who speaks in a tongue, what does it say? Builds himself up. And this is so important because one of the tools that God gives us to edify ourselves or build ourselves up or to encourage ourselves, according to Paul, is the gift of tongues. That when you speak in tongues, and this is true for me, I try to speak in tongues quite a lot in my prayer time, and I do so, and when I do so, it charges me up, so to speak. It feels like it can charge my spirit man. It's the best way I can explain it. Now, I know that there's going to be a lot of objections here, and I'm going to try and answer some of your questions now. But let's carry on. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Sorry if I'm rushing. I've got quite a lot of stuff here, so I'm trying to slow down, Mike. Slow down. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14, 15, he says, I love this. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. And you can see again that this prayer, it's a personal prayer language that in a sense, it's not intellectual that he understands it. It's from the spirit. He's praying from his spirit to the Lord with a strange language that even he doesn't understand. Even the person doesn't understand that he's praying. And as he prays with this language from his spirit to the Lord as a prayer language, it says that he's building himself up in the Lord as he does so. Now, I want to say, why would God do that? Why would God give such a strange gift to do that? But that doesn't make sense. Why should I pray in a way that makes me not understand? Why would God do that? That's just weird. You know, a few weeks ago, we spoke about weird and wild. We got to be wild for the Lord, but not weird. This just seems weird. Why would God do that? And I think for a number of reasons why the Lord does this is because I think he wants to humble the intellect. Because we're a people that, for us in our culture, we are led by our minds and our plans and our thoughts. And if we can't understand it, we reject it. That's kind of a humanistic worldview we live in, that people say, I can't see God, I can't understand spiritual things, I'm going to stick to what I know, I can trust my intellect. And actually, Christianity, while we have to love the Lord with our minds, we don't throw our minds away. You know, the joke about the charismatic and the Methodist that died and went to heaven. Oh, no, that died and they needed to give someone a new brain. And they said, give the charismatic's brain because he never uses it. You know, you can transplant his brain and give it to someone else. That's not true, right? God wants us to love him with our minds. But at the same time, Christianity is a faith where we are trusting in the unseen God, where we are being led by the Spirit, where we're not led by our emotions, but we serve the living God who we cannot see, but we trust by faith. And I find speaking in tongues, what it does, it humbles our thinking because we know that our faith is a spiritual faith. We by faith know that there's a spiritual realm that happens. And sometimes the things that come against us are spiritual forces that buffet us and come against us in our faith. And I think so often we live in a mental space where we don't acknowledge the deeper spiritual things. And what tongues does, it awakens us, the fact that we are spiritual beings. Amen? And we're those that are part of a spiritual house, not just trying to work things out intellectually. And it humbles the intellect when we pray. I know it does for me, because I like to use my mind. And it does for me. So that's important. That's point number two, is tongues is a prayer language. And when you pray in tongues, and I want to encourage you, for those here who do speak in tongues, is that when you pray in tongues a lot. You should be praying in tongues a lot. Some of you have neglected the gift here this morning. Some of you have had the gift, but you've laid it aside because maybe it's weird. But actually, you know what Paul says? Paul says, I wish that you would all speak in tongues as much as I do. Now, it's not a command. He's not saying you have to. But he's like, oh, I wish that you would all, because I do. Right? The heart is that we do that. Let's look at point number three. Speaking in tongues is not understood by the speaker. Is not understood by the speaker. And look what he says in verse 14. And again, this is a bit of a mind bender. That's why I'm trying to use scripture here carefully. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Is that up on them? He says this, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What the heck is going on here? My mind is unfruitful. As some versions say, my mind is being unproductive. And that's exactly what happens, is when you pray in tongues, it's as if sometimes you bypass your mind and it's your spirit connecting with the Spirit of God in a direct way, in a very clear way, all right? So that's very clear. Now, I want to encourage you that this is the way sometimes the Lord uses prayer. That's not the only type of prayer, but it's one of the forms of prayer that we should be exercising and practicing. Now, what about those who speak in tongues publicly where you can't understand them in a meeting? Where someone stands up, have any of you been to church like that? Where someone stands up and they speak in tongues? You know, Hyundai, they give the names of the Japanese motor cars. Kawasaki, Hyundai, Toyota, you know, then all the, and you're like, what has just been said? You know, that's weird, I'm out of here, you know, for some of us. But actually what we do is the Bible says that when there's a public tongue, if you're praying to God alone, then you don't need to understand. But if it's public, he carries on. He says, you need to understand, because in the house of God, God wants there to be understanding when it's public, right? So what do we do? And I want to encourage us that I think we should be trusting for more tongues. I'm not sure how much tongues happen, maybe, but we should be trusting God for the public gift of tongues in our meetings, because that's what happened in Acts. And so what happens there, what we do is we stop the meeting and we say, guys, the Bible says that someone should have an interpretation. So now we're going to wait for the interpretation. And then we wait. And then there's always an interpretation. And that's the way the Lord works. And so, and the aim, my friends, is to build up the church. To build up the church. The heart of God is always that we do these things to build ourselves up. But if you do it publicly, we're going to build others up. We're going to encourage other people. And God's heart is that everything we do is to build up the church. To encourage the church. To make sure that people are leaving. You know, people might come into our meetings feeling discouraged. People always need to leave our meetings going, yes, yes, I can do it in the Lord. Yes, God, you're alive. Yes, you're on the throne. There is a God and he knows my name. That is the heart of God. And he says, I want them to be built up. So no matter what you do, build people up. That's why we never come and we just sit in our seats and let me hear a good message and go home. No, 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 no. I come because my participation, your participation is to make sure we're building one another up. Even outside of, you know, in the coffee, how can I build someone up? Ah, there's someone sitting there. I want to go and build them up this morning. Ah, there's someone all alone there. Who's greeted them? Who said hello to them? I'm going to go and, my heart is to build you up. And so I need, that starts with me, and it goes to every one of us. So that's number three. Number four, tongues is one of the signs that we are filled with the Spirit, right? Is we are filled with the Spirit. And if you find that, and I'd encourage you in your own time to go and do this, but in the, who wrote the book of Acts, by the way? Do you know who wrote the book of Acts? It's a little Sunday school lesson. Dr. Luke, that's right. Luke, one of the disciples, the partner with Paul, he wrote the book of Acts. But what other book did he write? The Gospel of Luke. And if you notice, Luke and Acts go together. They actually fit together as two parts of one story, actually. And one of the themes that Luke does throughout Luke and throughout Acts is that he has a specific interest in being spirit-filled. And throughout Luke and Acts, he speaks about this thing of people being people of Jesus who get filled with the Spirit and something happens to them. And this is a thing that you notice in Luke and Acts. And I want to encourage you, go read it on your own sometime. But every time, someone gets filled with the Holy Spirit in Luke and in Acts, something happens to their mouth. Something happens to their mouth. You read right from the beginning with Elizabeth, and that's not even, the church hasn't even started yet. You know, the Spirit hasn't been poured out. But it says that when Elizabeth saw Mary and she was pregnant, if you read it, it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did she do? She went, praise God. No, she exclaimed with a loud voice. It says she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you carry on with her husband, who was an interesting character. His name was Zechariah. He was John the Baptist's father. And it says as well for him that when he was filled with the Spirit, do you know what happened to him? It says he prophesied. Something happened to his lips, to his mouth. And you go on and you read Acts that when they were filled with the Spirit, what happens? They speak in tongues. Later on, not everyone spoke in tongues, by the way. Sometimes you find evidence when people were filled with the Spirit, they spoke the word of God with boldness. If you read Acts chapter 4, it says that they were together in a room praying, and they were all a bit scared, actually, probably. And while they were praying, it says the Holy Spirit filled the room, and then they went and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I want to say, do you want boldness? Do you want boldness in the Lord? If you want boldness, we have to be filled with the Spirit. And that's what we see throughout Acts. Let's look at one story, Acts 10, 44 to 46 quickly, then we'll move on to point number, our next. Acts 10, 44. And here's the story of the very first Gentile to get saved. The very first pork eater. The guy who loves bacon, this is your guy. Okay? If you love bacon, the first bacon eater to get saved. Acts 10, 44, first non-Jew to get saved. And he's hearing the gospel. I love this. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit, what does it say? Fell on all who heard the word. By the way, they weren't even believers yet. They were beginning to hear the gospel for the first time. Hear the message about Jesus, his death and his resurrection and what he had done for them. And as they're hearing this message, it says the Holy Spirit fell on them. And what happened? And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. How do they know the gift of the Spirit was poured out? Well, the next verse. What does the next verse say? For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling or praising God. And so again, what do we see? When someone gets filled, when someone has an encounter with the Lord and gets empowered by the person of the Holy Spirit, what happens? Something happens to your mouth. And I want to say, my friends, that happened to me years ago. I remember when I was 17, I got born again, and I was very conservative. I was very shy. I was never a leader in the church. In fact, it was always I was Gideon in the wine press, hiding. I was never a leader. I even underperformed. I say this to my shame. I underperformed at school so I would not have to go on stage to receive awards. I was petrified of the stage. I just didn't want to, and I was scared of those things. I just didn't like, never wanted, I think I made class captain once in grade one. I was even a failure at class captain. And so I was a timid person, but I got saved and I was hungry for God. Like I wanted to be filled with the Spirit. I wanted more of the Lord. Now I was in Jesus, I was born again, but I knew when I read my Bibles, like God wants a people filled with Him, encountering Him. That's the promise of those who follow Jesus, the person of the Spirit. And I remember just being hungry, 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 in a whole year, and I began to ask Him for like the gift of tongues. Lord, give me this gift. By the way, I want to say this. Some churches teach, and this is we don't teach this, that the sign of being filled with the Spirit, or the mark, the evidence, is that you must speak in tongues. The Bible doesn't say that. So for us, even you might not speak in tongues, but you can still be filled with the Spirit. So, but tongues is a gift, as you'll see, that is given by the Lord. But by the way, you know, we had one of our elders for many years who never spoke in tongues. Mike Davies, he can tell you the story. Mike grew up in a charismatic church. He trusted God, but he never had the gift. And only after he was an elder, and he would prophesy, and he had faith, but he never spoke in tongues. And years later, I remember in worship, one Sunday morning in worship in Sunningdale, God gave him the gift of tongues. But he kept asking, because it was something given by the Lord. Anyway, so I wanted to say that. So for me, I remember, and I was hungry, man. I was so hungry for the Lord. I was like, God, I want to be filled with the Spirit, and I want the gifts. I want all of it. God, would you fill me? Would you? I don't want to just be an oxygen thief. I don't want to be someone who just lives this life and has a nice life. I want to count for God in my generation. I want to be someone that lives for the glory of God, like was prayed in worship. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be part of a body that counts? That, and I wanted that with all my heart. I was part of a good church, a healthy church. And I remember going away. I was on my, we finished our matric exams. And for a whole year, I'd been trusting God. For about 9 months, I'd been trusting God just to be filled with the Spirit. And I also wanted to speak in tongues. I wanted both. And I was like, Lord, I want it in an increasing way. And by the way, you know when you're filled with the Spirit. It's a bit like being hit by a truck. You know when you've been knocked over by a car. Okay? Because something happens to your mouth. There's an overflow that happens when we are people like that. And my friends, we don't talk about this enough. And anyway, and so I was trusting God, and people prayed for me, and I sensed the Lord, I sensed His anointing. Went away on holiday, finished my matric finals, and was away with a group of friends in a place called Port Alfred. And while we were there, I had a dream the one night. I was in my room, had a dream, and was just, anyway, I woke up just really rattled by this dream, and I began to get on my knees and pray, 17 years old. And as I prayed, it was as if the taps of heaven opened, and I just began to experience the power of God. And I remember I felt like I needed to, it was just a sense of, I don't know if any of you experienced that before, that sense of the liquid power and the love of God. I began to weep. I don't cry. I'm not a crier. I cried like a baby. I didn't know why, but I was just, it was just that God said, my boy, you know, sometimes you know the Lord says, I love you. And you know intellectually that He loves you. But you know, there's something when you take your son or your daughter and you can say to them, you know, my child, you're a dofe, you know, because I've got three children, and you know that you are loved, and you carry my surname. I love you, you know. And now you can say that theologically, intellectually, legally, but there's something you say, come here, my boy, and you put them on your lap, and you just give them a kiss and a hug, and you rub their hair, and you say, oh, don't you know I love you? I love you so much. And that's what it felt like the Lord did. That's what the gift of the Spirit is. He comes, and He pours out the love of the Father over us. In fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great preacher from the UK many years ago, he said, the greatest assurance, if you want to be assured of your salvation and want to be assured of the love of God, the greatest assurance is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know God loves you, you want Him to fill you. And that's what Romans 5 says. Romans 5 says, it actually says, carries on, it says, for love, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit that's been given to us, the Spirit of Christ. And my friends, I want to say, and sorry, I've been meandering a bit, but I want to say to you that if you have settled for second best, I really believe that God's portion for you is so much better. If you've maybe had the drips of the Spirit, God's heart is for us to have it all, man. It's to have an encounter, not just one, but to live in a place. I mean, it is hard sometimes. I mean, I don't always wake up feeling, yay, the Lord loves me. You've got to tell it to yourself. But He wants us to be a people that know that we can sit on our Father's lap and experience the power of the Spirit. And tongues is a sign that you have been touched by God and filled with the Spirit. And that night, I remember, I began to, began to experience God. I began to open up my mouth and speak in other tongues. And that leads to the last thing I want to share. How can you receive tongues? And quickly, I've been going on long. But number one, you've got to desire the gift. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 says, pursue love and, what does it say? Say earnestly desire with me. Earnestly desire. That not might mean, oh God, you know, if you feel like it, maybe. Yeah, you could give me one of your gifts, Lord, you know, but I'm going to be a bit back-footed and wait, you know. No. What is earnest desire? You know, when you're looking for your wife and you've met that woman or that guy and you know that that's the person, do you go after that person or do you kind of wait? You know, I'm just going to wait, you know. And you know that there's another guy on the scene. No ways, man. You earnestly desiring. Because that is the ways of the Lord. He's like, we got to seek Him with all of our hearts. And when we seek Him, we will find Him, it says. There's a wholehearted approach that God would want us to have. And again, I'm concerned that I think sometimes we're not wholehearted enough. I think sometimes we've believed the lie that we can kind of almost not be those that are wholehearted believers in the Lord enough. Number two, how else do we receive gifts? So number one is a desire. And this ongoing desire. And I want to say, if you don't have the desire, that's okay. Ask God to give you the desire. Say, Lord, would you make me hungry? I'm actually satisfied at the moment. Lord, forgive me. I'm actually content spiritually. I'm not talking about material stuff. Interesting, the Bible says you should be content with material goods, but you should be discontent with spiritual things, right? And so, but you know, maybe you're like, I'm trusting for that new car, claim it, I'm hungry for that new car. No, God says, be content there, but be hungry for spiritual things. And so, that's number one, desire. Number two, by receiving the giver of the gifts. Number two, how do we receive the gift of tongues and other spiritual gifts? By receiving the person of the gifts. And I find what we have to do again, my friends, is, and I mean, many of you know this, but we don't just say, give me tongues. Tongues, I receive tongues. But what I do is say, Lord, I have the Spirit of God living in me. And I say, Holy Spirit, would you come and release your gifts within me? Would you come? I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, that you'd come and release these gifts by your Spirit. And I speak to Jesus and I speak to the Spirit. I speak to both of them. And I say, Lord, would you come and give me your gifts? And I receive you afresh. And you know, I don't know, but it's so helpful for us to do this where we give up control and we say, Holy Spirit, I give you control. Would you fill me? I give you control. I surrender to you. That's what Ephesians 5 says. Ephesians 5, when it says be filled with the Spirit, what it really means, it means be controlled by the Spirit. It means let the Spirit control you. Let him have his way. And he's saying, oh God, have your way. Please, Lord, have your way. I don't want to be the Lord of my own life. I don't want to hold on to control. And you know when you're holding on to control, don't you? We know when we are. But there's that point of saying, God, I surrender, I give up. I ask you to fill me and give me. And when the giver comes and empowers you, the gifts will flow. And then lastly, I want to say this, and practically, here's my last thing. You've got to step out in faith to receive the gift of tongues. You've got to step out in faith. What does that mean? It means that you have to open up your mouth. And that doesn't mean that God will open up your mouth for you. Again, some people think tongues is this ecstatic experience where you just, oh, and you open it up all by yourself. And it, no. You have to literally, you speak in that spiritual language God gives you. God doesn't do it for you. Now you say, but whoa, how does that, but no, but let me give you an example. You know, when Peter is in the boat with the disciples and Jesus is walking on the water, and Jesus is walking on the water, what does he say? He wants Peter to walk on the water. And what does he say to Peter? Peter, come. He says, is it you, Lord? If it's you, tell me to come. And he says, come. And what does Peter do? Peter doesn't just wait there and say, okay, I'm waiting for your angels, and your angels are going to pick me up now, and they're going to place me on the water. What did Peter have to do? And in a sense, he had to, now can you imagine how hard this must have been? Like you're in the boat, and now you've got to get your legs over the boat. You had to actually like get your bum on the side of the rails, and then you've got the water, and it's at night, and it's scary, and it was stormy, and then what does he have to do? Peter has to go like this. Now God is going to do the miracle. Peter is not doing any miracles. But what does he have to do? He's putting himself on the side of the boat and he's going, right? In other words, there's some kind of step of faith that Peter does. And as he steps out in faith, he begins to walk on the water, not by his own speciality, but because of his faith in Christ. And my friends, I've experienced that's how tongues work. In any other gift, I have to begin to open up my mouth. And I want to encourage you, is we're going to end there this morning, and we're going to end with a song of worship. And what we're going to do is I want to encourage you, number one, desire. Number two, receive the giver of the gifts, the person of the Holy Spirit, who's God. And number three, that we step out in faith. Now, I don't know here how many of you do speak in tongues or you don't speak in tongues. I'm not here to pressurize you. I'm not going to ask you to say after me the names of Japanese motor cars, you know, and motorbikes. We're not going to pressurize you into that. This is between you and the Lord. But the Bible also does say that in Acts, when people were filled by the Spirit, often there was the laying on of hands. And often through the laying on of hands, there was gifts released. In fact, Paul says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, in 2 Timothy, I want you to stir up the gifts that are within you. And as you stir it up, you stir it up. And remember, it's through the laying on of my hands that you receive these gifts. And sometimes the way God works is he gives gifts through the laying on of hands. Why? I don't know. Maybe because he knows we need each other and we're a body. That's the ways of the Lord. So God can do it on your own, but he can also do it together with us as a family. And I want to ask you, maybe if you've neglected the gift, to say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I want to be faithful to exercise the gifts, to build myself up and to build up the body in your name's sake. Is this helpful? I know we've gone on long, but I really wanted to encourage you this morning, my friends, because I know that it's God wants to plug us into the power source so we'd be a spirit-filled people afresh. And so can we stand and let's respond to him? It's going to pray for us. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. Yes, Lord, would you come this morning? Lord, we want to thank you this morning that we want to thank you today for Jesus. Lord, we know, Holy Spirit, that you love to spotlight Jesus. And we're a people of Jesus this morning, Lord. We acknowledge this morning, Lord, that we're a people that have been saved out of this world, out of darkness, into your marvelous light. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you have saved us for a purpose. That you have saved us, Lord, that we could be those who serve, and those who love, and those who give. And Father, come today, and we want to ask you, Lord, we want to say that, firstly, we want to look to you, Lord Jesus, and we say, Lord, we put our trust in you. We want to say, Lord, that we think of that scripture says, those who put their trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. And we want to acknowledge this morning, Lord Jesus, that you're our cornerstone, that you are the center of our lives. That, Lord, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above and is found in the person of Jesus. We want to thank you this morning, Lord, that you're our treasure, that you're the God in whom we have all things in Jesus. And we thank you that even through Jesus, through a relationship with Jesus, we get to encounter the precious Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to ask you again this morning. I know we did last week, but would you come this morning and we invite you, Lord. We want to invite you here into this place. Come, Lord God. Lord, we want to invite you this morning into this place. We know that you're already here, Lord, but we invite you into our hearts. We want to give up control and let you have control of us, Lord, we pray. Right now where you are, just give up control. Just say, Lord, I give you control. Would you fill me with your Spirit? Even just say it with your mouth. Lord, would you fill me this morning with your Spirit? Come, O God, would you come and flood me from heaven, Lord? Would you fill me with your love? Would you fill me afresh with your grace? Would you fill me, Lord, with the power of God and the presence of God that is given to us this morning? And we ask and invite you here this morning, Lord. Worship you today, Lord. Worship you this morning. Worship you today. We worship you this morning. Come, Lord, and make us hungry for more of you. Oh, would you make us hungry for more of you, Lord? We worship you today. We worship you today. Can we just worship him with our own words? Let's just worship him. We worship you this afternoon. We worship you today. Oh, we love you, Lord. We want to honor you today. There's no one like you, Lord. Oh, you're the Father above who gives all good gifts to your children, that when we ask, we can receive. When we knock, the door will be opened. As we seek, we will find. And we thank you that you're a good Father and a good God today. That when we ask for bread, you will not give us a stone. Lord, when we ask for fish, you do not give us a serpent. You give us the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And oh Lord, we are in desperate need for you, Lord. Please, Lord, would you come this morning and just refresh and encourage us as your people. In Jesus' name, come and do so, Lord. We worship you today, Lord. We worship you, Lord, today. Would you give people gifts this morning right now? Would you give gifts? Would you apportion out gifts right now in this place? Maybe if you've been hungry for those gifts, just ask him. Say, Lord, I'm asking you right now. Ask him. You have to ask him yourself. Just say, Lord, I'm asking you. Maybe there's another spiritual gift that you've been asking God for, trusting him for. Just say, Lord, today I want to ask you that I would eagerly desire these things that come from your hand. And Lord, would you come and unlock them and release them in my life today, Lord. Father, that I would be found fruitful before you in Jesus' name. Come and do so, Lord. Oh, come and do so this morning, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you this morning. We glorify you. We glorify you. What we're going to do is we're going to sing a song of worship this morning. And you know, these things, we don't want to, I never want to manufacture anything. We never ever want to manipulate. But at the same time, we also want to trust God, man. And if you're here and you're really trusting God, it's like, you're trusting God for a release of spiritual gifts. Like you want it in your life. You want it. You want tongues. And I'm assuming you know Jesus. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. But you would love the gift of tongues, or you would love to have some other spiritual gift unlocked in your life. I want to ask you to, we normally do it here, but as we worship, would you slip out of your chair and just come to the front? And we'd love to lay hands on you. We're not going to make anything happen. It's the Lord, but we also want to be faithful to the ways of God. And if you've got that desire and that desire to just to trust God as we worship, come to the front and we're going to pray for one another as we do so this morning. So why don't you lead us, Uriah?
How we love you, King of Kings, how we love you, Lord of Lords, how we love you, King of Kings, how we love you, Lord of Lords,
how we love you.
King of Kings, how we love you.
What we're going to do is, just going to pray for a couple of guys that have responded, but maybe just where we are, I want us just to settle our hearts, and I don't want to manufacture anything. Like I said, we're not here to whip up a crowd or do anything. We really want the Lord to come and fill us. I want to ask if you, one of the leaders here, and you really sense the Lord on you, I want you to come and pray for the folk that have responded. Like, you really just come and pray for those who have responded. Anyone else this morning? We worship you, Lord. Can I ask for the rest of us? This might be a bit of a stretch, but could I ask for the rest of us that we want to pray for each other, that maybe what you can do is just turn around and maybe just pray for someone, just pray for God's blessing on them. Can I ask us to do that? I know this is a stretch for some, but I'd love us just to pray for each other, for the rest of us that are here today, as we pray for those. So I don't want us to spectate. That's came through this morning. And so why don't you find someone and let's pray for each other this morning.
Ons weet van julle is nog besig om te bid en wil aanmoedig om so aan te gaan. Neem die rondom jou net in ag en vir die res van julle hoop ons julle het 'n wonderlike week, wonderlike dag. Gaan oefen daai bid in tale en mag julle 'n geseënde dag hê. Seën vir julle.